All right, we got to talk about Iran. Here's the issue with Iran is that according to numerous public news sources, the so-called negotiations broke down again. They're not really negotiations. They are Donald Trump and the U.S. empire making unreasonable demands of a foreign sovereign nation and pretending that the U.S. gets to control the world and tell everybody else what they can and cannot do. So, in effect, what Trump is demanding of Iran would be suicide for Iran. And Trump is demanding that Iran completely abandon all nuclear fuel enrichment programs, even for their domestic nuclear fuel industry, which, look, under the United Nations, every nation has the right to pursue conventional nuclear industry, you know, for power, for infrastructure. So the U.S. has no legal right to make such a demand on Iran. This is clearly coming from Netanyahu and Israel. But the next demand is even crazier. Trump is demanding that Iran give up all of its missiles. Yeah, the missiles that serve as the only defense against Israel and the United States attacking and destroying Iran. See, Iran has a lot of very capable missiles right now. I mean, hundreds of thousands of them of varying capabilities. They can hit U.S. military bases in the Persian Gulf region all around there. They can hit Israel, as we saw last summer. They can hit U.S. ships. They can sink U.S. naval vessels. They've even got ballistic missiles that have a range now of up to 10,000 kilometers, I believe, or maybe they have a few of those. Asking Iran to give up its missiles would be like asking a guy who's walking into a bar in an old Texas saloon filled with bandits and thieves with all their guns out, asking that guy to give up his pistol. Like, no, I'm not going to give up my pistol. If I give up my pistol, I'm going to get robbed and gang raped by these lunatics here in this saloon. Right? I mean, asking Iran to give up its missiles would be suicide for Iran, because the minute they did it, if they were to comply, if they give up all their missiles, what's going to happen the very next day? Oh, Israel's going to bomb them and attack them and assassinate their leaders if they can, and America's going to bomb them. Look, America is not negotiating with Iran in good faith. America is actually incapable of negotiating in good faith. And they proved that last summer when they said that we're going to meet with the Iranian negotiators. I think they said we're going to meet on Monday, and then they killed them over the weekend before the meeting. So that's how Trump negotiates with Iran, is, yeah, let's meet next Tuesday at noon, and then we'll kill you Monday, or we'll kill you Sunday. That's what the U.S. did. That's not even theoretical. That's not hyperbole. That's history. That happened last year in the summer. So the U.S. is incapable of negotiating in good faith. So, of course, Iran said, no, are you out of your mind? We're not going to give up our missiles, and we're not going to give up our nuclear fuel enrichment program for our domestic infrastructure. So Trump and, you know, all of them, Hegseth and Trump and Marco Rubio and Pompeo, they're all so arrogant. They're arrogant, violent, global, you know, instigators of you know, terror against other nations. There's no other way to describe it. That's what they're doing. And they really just want to destroy Iran. So does Lindsey Graham, and so does Ted Cruz, who cares nothing about Texas. They just want to destroy Iran. Why? Because Israel told them to do that. They want to destroy Iran, no matter what. Even though Iran is no real threat to the United States, is it? No. So why? Why are we doing all this? Well, it's because of Israel, obviously. So there's no deal. Of course there's no deal, because the deal was a farce. So Trump is going to use that refusal of the deal to attack Iran. So Pete Hegseth, the U.S. Secretary of War, not Secretary of Defense, and this guy's a lunatic, he said that the military is fully prepared to, quote, deliver whatever President Donald Trump orders. as a naval armada moves toward the region. He said, quote, "We will be prepared to deliver whatever this president expects of the War Department." Okay. And then he said that the U.S., we were able to go into Venezuela and we kidnapped President Nicolas Maduro. And that sends a message to every capital around the world that when President Trump speaks, he means business. Oh, okay. Good luck trying to kidnap the Ayatollah, you know. I mean, what are you going to do? You're gonna land in Iran and send in a super secret squad of agents, you know, military goons to go in there? You think you're going to kidnap all the high-level Iranian people? No. Your dudes are going to vanish into a deep, dark hole. They're going to disappear. You're never going to see them again because this is not Venezuela. I mean, come on. And the naval vessels that America has there, can they do damage? Yes, they can do damage. They can launch missiles. But they're also big, fat, juicy targets for Iran's missiles. And don't forget that China has been flying a huge number of cargo planes to Iran and unloading some unknown containers of all kinds of interesting things, probably drones and drone carriers and all kinds of, who knows what, super secret hypersonic missiles or whatever. Russia has been providing some level of technical assistance to Iran on its ballistic missiles over many years. There's been some level of technology transfer. But don't forget that Iran is also extremely capable of engineering and building its own drones. I don't know how to pronounce them. What are the Shahed drones? Maybe I'm not saying that correctly. I don't speak Farsi, obviously, but Iran is very capable of making its own drones. They are a major drone manufacturer. They export drones, you know? So how many drones has Iran been making since last summer when they knew that Israel and the United States were going to come back and try to kill them again? And the answer to that is, you know, as many as they freaking can, clearly. So probably Iran has tens of thousands of drones. Each one is a kamikaze weapon that could render a ship unusable. I'm not saying it would sink a ship, not one strike, but it could, you know, it could render it unusable, or it could make the ship have to sail home for repairs, all kinds of things. So yeah, the U.S. Navy can launch a bunch of missiles and a lot of big fireballs while Pete Hegseth goes, "Hoorah! Yeah, we're badass! America! Yeah, F yeah!" Right? Just like from the cartoon or the puppet show. And, you know, big fireballs on Fox News. "Yeah, we're tough. Yeah, we mean it. When we say something, you do something." So that Trump can act tough and Hegseth can act tough and Marco Rubio can act tough. And in the end, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't change who's in charge in Iran. I mean, it may actually strengthen the government's position there with its own domestic population, because people tend to band together when their country's being attacked by a foreign attacker, which the U.S. clearly would be. So this is not going to change the leadership. This is not going to overthrow Iran. And I don't even know how Trump thinks he's overthrown Venezuela. Is the U.S. in Venezuela running the show right now? Not to my knowledge. I mean, you kidnap the president, you take him out of there, and then you say, like, "We own Venezuela now," but do you really control it? No. So I don't even understand what's going on there. How does he think that we run Venezuela? I don't know what the population of Venezuela is, but it's millions of people who probably completely disagree with whatever Trump is claiming. It's like, no, we have our own way of doing things here. I do know the population of Iran is like 90 million people. So if you think you're going to go in and just overthrow a country of 90 million people that's surrounded by mountains and has very advanced technology and some very smart engineers, by the way, you got another thing coming. And so the way I see it, there are only two ways this thing goes. Number one is that Trump realizes the U.S. can't actually win this. And so He organizes a demonstration bombing to be able to claim victory back home. You know, drop a couple of bombs, launch some missiles, have some big fireballs, and then have a big press conference. We kick ass. Yeah. You know, and then back home in Iran, their leaders can say, oh, they didn't damage anything. It's just fireballs out in the desert. Who cares? Oh, they blew up the side of a mountain over there. Some grass is on fire. Who cares? You know, but Trump will claim it's a massive victory. Just like last year, he claimed that we completely destroyed forever Iran's nuclear weapons program. Right. That was, you know, 6 months ago or 7 months ago. Now he's claiming it's back. Like, you have to stop your nuclear weapons program. Oh, I thought you blew it up last year, Trump. How did it come back? Yeah, because, you know, you're full of shit last year when you said and blew it up. And I called it. I called it correctly last year. Sorry about the profanity, but, you know, we're talking about Trump's pronouncements here. So sometimes we have to use profanity to be accurate. You're not going to be able to overthrow Iran with a bombing campaign. The only way to overthrow Iran is to go in with millions of troops on the ground. And guess what? America doesn't have millions of troops anywhere. I mean, not that could march on the ground without collapsing after about 100 yards. So all that the U.S. can do, you know, Pete Hegseth can scream all he wants, but all you can do is a little bombing from the air. You can set some things on fire. You can terrorize Iran. You can bomb some ports and some, you know, oil refineries or whatever. But you can't change the country with bombing. And so Trump will just have to go home and try to claim victory and hope that his followers are dumb enough to believe it. The other thing that could happen is Trump could go all in, thinking that we can destroy Iran. And if he does that, then Iran is going to go all out. And they're going to launch freaking everything. And I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I bet it's a lot, because they've had a lot of time to prepare, a lot of assistance. You know, I mentioned China and Russia and other countries helping them prepare for this inevitability. So Iran's going to just hit the button on everything. Just launch it all, you know, however you say that in Farsi. They're going to launch everything. They're going to hit the bases. They're going to hit the ships. They're going to hit Israel. They're going to blow the bejesus out of Israel. Not that Israel believes in Jesus, but I mean the bejesus out of Israel. And Israel will be turned into Gaza, basically. And then you're going to hear all kinds of complaints from Israelis. Oh, how dare they turn our cities into rubble? That's going to be a moment of historic irony right there. And the U.S. will probably lose some ships, or at least they'll suffer severe damage and have to sail back home, where they will take 5 years to repair because nobody remembers how to weld in America, or nobody's willing to do so without, you know, triple time pay or something. So, okay, maybe that's an exaggeration. A few people still know how to weld, but they're not working in the naval yards, okay? They're working on the ranches and the oil rigs and things like that. But we don't have, my point is, we don't really have a naval repair infrastructure worth anything. If even three ships get damaged, then all our repair docks are occupied at that point, and we're screwed for years. Because in America's military, everything takes forever and costs an infinite amount of money. It seems it's just a giant black hole of fraud and waste and corruption. So for every hole that gets blown in an aircraft carrier, let's say, or a frigate by Iran with a $20,000 drone, that hole will cost like $20 billion to repair by the time you run it through, you know, Norfolk, Virginia, and all the repair, welding, union fees, and everything. It's a $20 billion hole. Which is more than the cost of the whole frigate. But that's the way the military operates. Trust me. It would be cheaper to set fire to the frigate and sink it and build a whole new one than to fix that damn hole. But it would just take longer, so they'll have to figure out how to fix the hole Meanwhile, the entire United States military has run out of minerals. All kinds of minerals. I've got a whole full special report on this I'm going to cover another day, but let me just read for you. Oh, this is good. Let me read the executive summary for you. I'm going to cover this in more detail maybe Monday. Over the past 6 years, China has implemented an increasingly comprehensive export control regime targeting strategic metals and rare earth elements essential to the United States defense industrial base and advanced technology sectors. Beginning with gallium and germanium restrictions in July of 2023, China has progressively expanded controls to include graphite, antimony, tungsten, rare earth elements, and numerous other critical minerals. Yeah, and don't forget graphite there. I mean, I just mentioned graphite, but that's easy to miss because it's not technically a mineral, right? It's just, it's a special form of carbon. Anyway, this report provides a comprehensive chronological inventory of all Chinese export restrictions, bans, and licensing requirements affecting strategic metals from 2019 through January of 2026, along with a detailed analysis of the U.S. military applications for each restricted element. Got it? Yeah, so I scrambled a bunch of AI agents to go out and find all this stuff and pull together this report. The restrictions have significant implications for U.S. national security, as many of these materials are essential components in advanced weapons systems, radar technology, guidance systems, and military electronics. In other words, when the U.S. loses equipment because Iran hits it with missiles or drones, the U.S. can't replace it because it doesn't have the minerals, you see. Key findings include, this is the final paragraph, key findings include China controls 48% to 99% of global production of most restricted materials. The U.S. is 100% import dependent for several critical minerals. You got that? 100%! That's not a rounding error. Many restrictions target dual-use items with clear military applications, and recent diplomatic engagements have led to temporary suspensions of some controls through late 2026. So there you go. I'm going to bring you more details in the next update. My point is that the U.S. military can't rebuild the stuff it loses. So think about it. Think about it. Iran can build. They have a strong industrial base. Russia can build. They've proven that since 2022. China can build. China is the world's factory. They can build everything. The U.S. can't build these weapon systems anymore. They don't have the minerals. And also, they don't have the workforce that's really willing to work also. Or anybody that knows how to do anything anymore in the government. So that's why they have to put cartoon figures in charge, like Pete Hegseth. He's like a cartoon, you know? he's like a caricature. So my point is that if this conflict actually goes really full on hot with Iran and the U.S. starts losing things, then China is going to look at that and say, "Whoa, huh? This makes the U.S. incredibly vulnerable. They probably can't defend Taiwan right now." What do you think China's going to do? They're just going to send an email to the president of Taiwan. Hey. Yeah, you either surrender right now or we're just going to come take it, including all the microchips. And Taiwan's going to have to surrender because there's nothing they can do if the U.S. can't defend them. Japan can't defend Taiwan against China, nor can the U.S. So, in other words, if Trump attacks Iran, it could set off a chain reaction of events that becomes absolutely catastrophic for the United States or the U.S. empire, and ultimately could lead to the collapse of the dollar, the abandonment of treasuries, the abandonment of dollar, whatever dollar hegemony is still exists in the world. There will be currency consequences for bad military decisions, and there's nobody that's positioned to make worse military decisions than Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth. These are the dynamic duo of dumb and dumber of the United States military. Neither one of them knows much of anything, especially at the theater level, of how to use a military. So they're probably just going to have insane orders like, go in there, just rush in there. It's like, tackle the quarterback, you know. They're just going to send in a bunch of ships and think that they're playing Risk on a Risk board, and then they wonder why the ships are sinking. That's probably where this is going. I'm not certain about it, but it's a good possibility. Maybe we should call, instead of Dumb and Dumber, we should call Trump and Trumper. Hegseth would be the Trumper. These people are clowns, man. Our nation is run by absolute clowns. So, look, load up on gold and maybe silver, too. Get ready for fuel prices to skyrocket. Get ready for supply chains to break down. Just in case Trump goes all out, this is going to get super dicey, super fast. This is going to be more spicy than a jalapeno breakfast burrito with fire sauce on top of it. Yeah, it's going to get crazy. All right. You can follow more of my work, of course, at naturalnews.com, where I have articles on all this, as well as brighteon.com, where I have the videos here. And be sure to check out all my AI tools at brighteon.ai. And that links to all the different AI tools right there. So enjoy the tools and pray for peace. You know, pray for peace. I don't want to see war and destruction and stupidity on parade, but too late. Too late for that. We already have a Secretary of War. My God. We've already become a clown show. Okay, laughing stock of the world. Thanks for listening. Pray for peace, though. Okay, take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab-tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.